Are you ready? It's Saturday morning at Yahoo Sports Radio. Welcome to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon and powered by Insperity.
Insperity, inspiring small business performance.
The golf doctor, Charlie Epps, is in. The man who coaches PGA stud, Angel Cabrera.
Follow the golf doctor on Twitter, at the golf underscore doctor.
Doctor, the golf doctor is in on Yahoo Sports Radio right now. With Charlie Epps, here's your host from the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio. It's our very own scratch golfer, sort of.
Hey, I should have stayed home and played with myself.
John Granato.
Good Saturday morning, everybody. As the man told you, it's the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. And the man is sitting right next to me here in studio after being at the beautiful, beautiful course in the Dominican, Charlie Epps. What's up, pal?
Just returned from the Latin American Amateur Championship, which is a brainchild of the three majors, the Masters, the RNA, and the USGA. And this is the second one that they have put together. They had the Asian Amateur Championship, where the local amateurs get to compete, and they get a spot in the Masters, which is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Qualified, you know, go to the last spot, qualify for the British Open. So it's a wonderful way to promote amateur golf throughout the world. And Masters is very well representative, and they everybody does things now the way the Masters does. The golf course, John, was prepared unbelievable. I mean, they had 70 guys working on the golf course.
Oh.
70. And it looked like Augusta. And the Teeth of the Dog is a famous golf course. This is in the Caribbean, in the Dominican Republic, the island. And Pete Dye designed it.
It looks beautiful on TV.
It's beautiful. Seven holes on the ocean. Pete Dye was there, 92 years old. He's got 13 golf courses going.
Built still at 90.
At 90.
Wow. Wow.
So it's great. I want to talk more about it and on attitudes of the guys playing in it. And you know, it's kind of like the lottery. I was telling you about the one gentleman from Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was really pumped. He shot a cool 101.97.
He was having fun.
But he had never seen those range balls. I mean, they're brand new range
balls. I bet he had a few in his bag after he left.
I'm not going to say that.
Well, I want to say this. Let's bring in our good friend Billy Harmon, who is in Palm Springs, where the tour is headed after this stop in Hawaii. And Billy's with us here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. What's up, Bill?
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
We're doing great, man. How are you? How's weather there? How's everything going?
Everything's good. The weather's nice. Looking forward to a good week next week. And with the tournament coming to town, we've got a few players that are already in town practicing. So looking forward to next week.
Yeah, Bill Haas took this week off in Hawaii, right? Isn't he practicing? Are you working with him at all?
Yeah, he's been out every day. He's rented a house at Toscana for 2 months, which basically encompasses the whole West Coast. So he'll be in and out of Toscana. We've done some good work together, and he with his dad's been working with him on his putting and stuff. So I think he's very encouraged about the direction that he's going.
Bill, being down in the Dominican at this amateur championship, and we're talking about Bill Haas and renting a house at Toscano and, you know, just being able to do everything. And there is this one gentleman from Haiti, and I was telling John this, and he walks up to the practice tee, and he's got this big staff bag, and he's got a piece of paper, 7-Eleven, you know, just a, you know, like he came out of the printer, and he's got his name written on it, and it's scotch taped to his bag. I mean, he was happy. He started topping the ball. He didn't care. But what enthusiasm this kid had. And, you know, he's teeing it up just like Bill Haas. And he couldn't be happy. He shot 101.97. And he can't wait to practice the next day. So the game of golf really gets you, if if Bill Haas could have his attitude, he'd probably win every turn he played in.
Well, he's happy. He doesn't seem to be very, very good, but he's happy.
But he's going to get there.
But is he?
He's going to get there.
I hope so.
You know, it's kind of like winning the lottery, but it just reminded me so much of these other guys that are so talented. They get to the practice tee, and they're in a bad mood, and the coffee wasn't hot enough, and the courtesy car was dirty, and this guy is just...
Loving life out there on... At the now, the winner gets to go to Augusta.
Gets an exemption into Augusta.
Right, and Tosti was leading.
Tosti, he's in second place. He had a bad first round because of his expectations. He missed a 4-foot putt last year to not go into a playoff. So Alejandro Tosti from Argentina, who goes to Florida, great player, Bill, and you know a good player by his bounce back. And he shot 75 the first day, finished bogey, double bogey, made two bad mistakes, comes out the second day, has 9 birdies, and shoots 65 with a double bogey. So that shows you the type of guy this guy is. And it will be interesting to see if he can bring it home.
He'll be out there on the tour, you think, someday?
Oh, yes. Yeah there's no doubt about it. He wants to finish his education. He's at Florida. Both his dad and three other brothers have degrees in engineering. They live a modest life in Argentina. So he's got that background for education. But, you know, if he gets into Augusta and wins, he might not finish.
Yeah, well, you know, if he gets into Augusta and wins, then he's going to be set for life, isn't he? So that's cool. Really neat-looking place. You get to check it out. A couple of rounds left out there at the Teeth. What is it called?
It's the course is called the Teeth of the Dog. It's just a nickname for it. It's at the Casa de Campo Complex, and they have 90 holes of golf. They have beautiful, you know. They have one golf course which is up on the plateau overlooking the whole complex. And the Fangul family from Cuba bought it many years ago because they're in the sugarcane business, and it's all involved there. And they, you know, there's homes, beautiful homes, condominiums. There's a big hotel there that. You know, we're going to get you to go to.
Oh, John. Yeah, I'd love to. I've heard about this before. Bill, have you ever played down there?
You know, I haven't, but Jay Haas and Alfonso Fanghul won the Bing Crosby Pro-Am one year. And Alfie is I believe, the person who started the Teeth of the Dog. So just a little side note here to this segment we're doing on the Latin America Amateur Championship.
That's right.
Actually, it was started by a family in Houston back in the early 70s. The Fangul family got involved in about 1985 when they bought most of the sugar cane in Colombia. But the first thing, when I saw Alfie, he looks at me and says, "How's Billy Harmon?"
Did he really?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Come on now, Charlie.
Oh, yes. I said, yes, Billy's doing fine. He's working hard in Palm Springs. And he said, well, tell him I say hello. So,
how about that? So you...
Small world, huh?
Yeah, you were on the bag for that win?
I was with Jay, and I walked Alfie in about the last 7-8 holes where he wanted to win that thing pretty bad. And that's a whole other story, but it was a fun week.
Well, and that's going to be coming up here soon, and there's been so much talk about that, about the Pro-Am and the amateurs out there and everything else. They want it. You can attest to that, Bill. He must have been a pretty good player to win the thing, no?
He's a very good player. Remember Seminole, and I believe he shot 73 on his own ball the last round at Pebble Beach, and back then the amateurs had to play the same tees that the pros did, so it was a heck of a round.
He just had a knee replacement.
Did he?
And he says he's really hitting the ball good, but he's got a 17 handicap now.
Oh, well, does he now?
Yes.
Yeah, so he's winning a few Nassaus,
I think. Well, that's what he had when he shot 73. That's why they won.
He's got a 17 handicap, and he's shooting 73 from the tips. Okay. All right. Yeah, there's some funny business going on down there at the Teeth of the Dog. Okay, we got to take a break here live on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance right here on the Yahoo Sports Radio Network. Let's go out to Hawaii when we come back here on the show.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour,
featuring Bill Harmon
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Powered by Insperity.
Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
All right, back here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance, and the International Pro-Am. You got all those players down there. What about playing down in Puerto Vallarta?
Well, John, as you know, we just finished the championship in December. Bill and his team took down almost 800 people to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. And we stayed at the Casa Magna Marriott. We played 72 holes of golf at the Vista Golf Courses, which one is a Jack Nicklaus course, one is designed by Tom Weisskopf, and then one is designed by Dye, the Marina course. And we just had a wonderful competition, wonderful parties, wonderful camaraderie. And so I just want to encourage everybody that I know that small business performance, and we all work so hard all year long. Reward yourself for a great vacation in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, coming this next December. And log on to PuertoVallartaProAm.com or InternationalProAm.com. Get the information. Start your planning now, and you will have a wonderful time next December in Puerto Vallarta. Perfect weather, perfect host, perfect golf.
InternationalProAm.com. All right, let's talk about what's going on out there. And it's, again, this week. Last week it was Jordan Spieth. And the young man is just unbelievable. It's becoming just, I don't know, it's just another day at the office when this dude wins. It's very, I don't want to say it's Tiger-like yet, but it's getting close, isn't it, Bill?
Well, you know, they're using some of Tiger's accomplishments at age 22, comparing them to Jordan's at age 22. There's a lot of similarities. One of the things I liked that I heard on TV last week is I think they alluded to the fact that this isn't necessarily a new year for Jordan Spieth. This is another tournament in the course of his career, and I think Tiger thought of things that way. I don't think he looked at things, let's say, just 1 month or he's on the road to a career, and Kapalua tournament was another stop on that road, and it's hard to win any PGA Tour event, but to win by 8 shots when you don't have the advantage, let's say, of length, really, really speaks to how good this guy is and absolutely all phases of the game.
Bill, it's you know, in the history of sport, in every sport, you have special people come down the pipe, whether it be Pete Sampras, Tom Brady, guys that rise above the norm. Okay, now this kid started doing it when he was 15, playing in a pro tournament in Dallas, and but he has grasped the work ethic. Just like Tiger. I mean, Tiger showed us all how hard you need to work to really get to that pinnacle. Nicklaus didn't have to work that hard. He played seasonal golf. He didn't play golf. He achieved, I still think he's the best golfer ever, although the 10 years that Tiger's had is incredible. Now we're facing that same thing again. And Jordan has guys like Jason Day and Rory McIlroy that are going to drive him, and they're going to go back and forth. So it's going to be fun to watch.
It is. It is unbelievable just how good he is. And he just – and, you know, you mentioned that he doesn't have that length, Bill, but it doesn't seem to matter. His irons, his mid-irons, his short irons, everything. And even if it's not that close, if it's 15 feet – that's another guy's 7-footer or 6-footer because he's just so unbelievable putting.
Well, to clarify, when we say doesn't have that length, he's most tour players are very long hitters, but there's some that are really long.
Yeah.
And he's a long hitter. He's just not in the really long category, but he gets it out there plenty far enough. But, you know, Charlie, you were talking about how hard he works. I really believe guys like Tiger and Jordan, to them it isn't work. You know, one of the things I saw at the President's Cup, and I mentioned this, is that he has almost like a childlike joy of playing golf and competing. So I think to people like Tiger and Jordan, this is not work, this is fun.
I agree with that.
Wait to wake up to do it.
But it's they put in the time and effort.
Oh, yeah, without question.
I mean, you got to put in the time. They don't want to be great. They desire.
Well, but I think, Bill, that's with any really, really great player. They just can't wait to get out there. It's not, like you said, it's not work. It's joy. It's what they do. It's what they can't. They can't live without that competition. They can't live without, you know, being great. They can't. It's in their DNA. All you look at all Tom Brady. He loves to practice. Loves to be on the field. You see him on his face during the game, and he's just. It looks like he's just having a great. Now, not when things aren't going right, because he'll drop some F bombs on you. But he. It's just like it's part of their DNA, and it looks like it's part of Jordan's, isn't it?
Peyton Manning, same thing. Yeah, it's they can't wait to get up in the morning and they're going to go do their deal. Right. And this little toasty kid that just shot 65 in the American Amateur, he started off with using the stick that his dad cooked the barbecue with and hitting little stones around. And, you know, it just starts that way.
Yep.
And
yep.
Just like a Ballesteros. Ballesteros is one of these prodigies that just can't get enough of what they do. And then, and the next thing we're going to talk about, Bill, for the next couple of weeks, and I'm going to get Brandel Chamblee on, and at the bottom of the hour we can go into a little more depth in Golf Magazine, where you're featured also. I mean, you pretty blue hat. But Brandel Chamblee has written a book. And he explains his philosophy on golf swings, and I think it's going to be very interesting.
Brandel's a neat guy, huh? Bill, you work with him a little bit over on the Golf Channel. He's not afraid to say what he's thinking.
I love that about him, but I'll tell you, he's very, very prepared. He brings a lot of homework to his debating skills. I like where he's going. With the golf swing, I think that the older players who have better footwork didn't seem to get as injured as much. So it'll be very interesting to see what his book reveals. But I know that he's worked very hard on it, and he'll have no problem giving his opinion on it, which is one of the things I enjoy about him.
What do you mean by his better footwork?
A lot of the older players picked up their left heel and more hip turn. The modern-day players, the X factor, everything is to get more speed, but maybe the body can't handle some of the stuff that's going on today because we have a lot of young players that are constantly injured, and it doesn't seem like the older players were injured as much. Would you agree with that, Charlie?
Yes, I think a lot of it has to do with in the gym. I think some of these physical fitness guys, you know, they're excellent, but sometimes they go overboard, and they feel that it's more important to be physically fit than to have the proper technique, and that's not the case.
The thought in the old days was golfers and baseball players, you don't lift weights.
That's right.
You just don't lift weights because right. You've got to be flexible.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe that's leading to a lot of injury. Tiger, that's a thought, is that that's just why Tiger's
breaking
out.
He got hurt in the gym.
Yeah, that could well be. All right, it's 25 past here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance and international pro-am. We got a lot to talk about still here. Don't you go anywhere. We're at the halfway point on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour,
featuring Bill Harmon
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Powered by Insperity.
Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
All right, back here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance, and by the Southern Texas PGA.
And all of their membership are its members from all over South Texas who really work day in and day out promoting the game of golf. That's the way they make their living. But golf is a passion. You don't get into being a club pro or for money. It's because for the love of the game, and you want to grow the game, and you want to get kids involved, and you have junior programs, and you have Ladies' Day, and you have Men's Day, and you encourage people to come out and get better, and you help them with their golf clubs, and you help them travel, you help them where to stay. I mean, there's just so many things that the PGA golf professional can do for you, the golfer. So if you want to get involved in golf or you want to get your kids involved, contact the Southern Texas PGA, log on to stpga.com. They will show you all of the different programs that are available, the medalist program. We have tournaments for amateur, everything. Yep. The Southern Texas PGA, John, is really doing a wonderful job.
Great
in job. South Texas.
Great people, and it is. It's great for the youth to get started the right way. So make sure that you get with a pro right away, and they'll enjoy the game more, a heck of a lot more. Well, and speaking of that, Bill, you said that Bill Haas is there, and Charlie's going out to Palm Springs tomorrow with Ankel, and he's going to work. You know, for everybody out there, you guys have been working with pro golfers for so long. Give us an example of what you do. Does the pro golfer, does he sit and hit one club for hours? Does he work on a bunch of different stuff? How do you go about it getting ready for a golf season?
Well, I think Charlie and I have similar situations in that we both work with very, very natural players that have their own style and their own swing, and really have no interest whatsoever in what anyone else is teaching or the new teacher du jour or the type of swing. So Charlie and I have to, I think, have a different blueprint to helping our players. And I just talked about one shot that I think Bill needs to learn how to play and get comfortable with. His dad has done some good work with him on his putting. And other than that, there's really... In our case, I think Charlie and I try to look at what they do when they're swinging well and what they do when they're not, and not try to reinvent anything, but just get them in positions to take advantage of their enormous natural abilities. And in most cases, I think Charlie might agree with this, that natural players that the game came natural to usually are incredibly impatient. Because the game seems easy with them. So I think Charlie and I are probably always dealing with the psyche of the player and trying to keep them in the present and to not beat themselves up too much. Do you have to deal with any of that, Charles?
100%. My favorite.
All right.
I got 100%.
110%. But, you know, practice for Cabrera, to me, is kind of like infield practice for the major leaguer. You know, they just get out and loosen up, and they go through their motions, and they not, you know, they're working on it, but yet they're not working on it. It's nothing has to be too orchestrated. Anka likes to just, you know, he'll start his practice out with some short shots with wedges and just getting loosened, and he'll go through the bag, and
he goes through the whole bag in a practice when he's out there practicing.
He'll go. For example, he'll go a sand wedge. And then he'll go to an 8-iron, 6-iron, 4-iron. He won't go through every club.
Right, okay.
And he'll hit 10 to 12 balls with every club. And he'll go into the drivers and, you know, the longer clubs. Then we'll go chip, pitch, and putt. And it's usually no more than 2 hours. And he likes to play. So we'll do more practice on the golf course than most people, especially around the greens, chipping and pitching and putting. He'll spend some time going around the greens, and like Bill knows that this is the first time he's played in Palm Springs, so he's got to get to know a couple of golf courses. So we'll spend more time on the golf course.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And he likes to be on the golf course.
Yeah.
Billy, it's different for you, obviously. It's so amazing to me how these guys are so tuned in to every club and how far it goes and the exact distance of each one. It would seem like they work hours and hours with each club. But that's just not the case, Bill?
Bill is a lot like Angel. He doesn't. He gets practice bores him, and he likes to go. He likes to do things on the course a lot more than he does on the range. We've done a little more range work these last couple of weeks as we're trying to get comfortable, trying to draw the ball with the irons. Bill hates missing the ball left, And when the pin's in the back left, he'll tend to aim to the right of the flag and then try not to go left. So then he'll go further right. So I believe that he's wasting about 20 opportunities a tournament where there's a – and Charlie knows this. Bill is a good enough player to not have to fear missing shots left all the time. So if he was a big hooker or something like that, that would be different. So I think Bill is talented enough to have a more aggressive game plan. And, you know, I think from my perspective at this stage of Bill's career, I don't know this, but I'm going to assume he's done pretty well financially. You know, going to make a lot of money coming up. So I think it's about getting in contention more and having a chance to win more tournaments. And I think to do that, he might have to be a little more aggressive early in tournaments. And he's good enough to not have to have that conservative or game plan, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. On the other hand, with Ankel, he's almost too aggressive.
Really?
He really, you know, there's not too many pins that he doesn't like to go at. And a lot of his bogeys come from being short-sighted or not playing. Although he plays Augusta very smartly. I mean, he knows where he's got to place the ball, Bill, and so on and so forth. And so there's certain pins he won't go for.
Well, aren't there courses and stuff like that that just fit his eye better? Loves that.
Yeah, exactly right. But still, and then when he misses a shot, then he gets a little upset.
Mm-hmm. And that's what you got to do.
Sometimes there's a little carryover in his giver.
Well, he's Latin.
He's Latin.
That's what happens. Latin. What about Bill's temperament, Billy?
Similar.
It is.
Hate hitting bad shots. Most good players do, by the way.
Yeah.
Most good players do not like mediocrity and don't like hitting bad shots. I think the golfing public would be somewhat intrigued if they were actually inside the ropes in a tour event at what is actually going on. And just because they're not throwing clubs or breaking clubs doesn't mean that there's not a lot of venom pouring out of them verbally about stuff. So it's a very difficult league to compete in if you enjoy hitting bad shots and shooting 75.
Yeah, that is for sure. And then on the other side of the coin, Bill, if I can get him to spend 45 minutes to an hour on the putting green, just hitting different putts, let me run him through just a few little exercises, kind of like, you know, infield practice. Those repetitions from here to Augusta will really pay off. I've got to get him after practice to practice putting.
It's he doesn't like to do that?
Well, he does, but he you know, sometimes he doesn't.
He wants to be on the court, right? He wants
to
be playing, right?
He likes to play.
Oh, he likes to take a siesta. Okay, all right.
You know, you got to go relax. But you know, it's still a game where you've got to have casual practice.
You have to. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Are you a proponent of hitting a putt that's going to break a lot off the toe of the putter?
Not really.
No?
Nah, you know, sometimes if conditions are you just want a two putt and you want to, you know, there's certain ways you can lag the putt closer to the hole without running it by. You can do that. But, you know, center face contact.
Center face contact you like. Billy, that's it for you. You got to work, baby. And we appreciate you being here as always.
Bill, I'll be in touch.
Charlie's coming out. He's coming out tomorrow morning, Bill. Look for him. Wait for him at the airport. All right? Billy will be waiting at the airport for you, Charlie.
All right, John.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
Featuring Bill Harmon
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Powered by Insperity.
Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
All right, back here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance, right here on the Yahoo Sports Radio Network. It's the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, our fourth and final segment. Just me and Charlie. Now Billy had to go to work. He's got to get Bill Haas ready. He's got to get his own game ready. He's playing with Jay and Bill and was it Julie Inkster was the fourth one?
Oh, yeah. He's hanging with the rich and
famous. Yeah, no question about that. He's got a little charity deal going on.
Hard being a Harmon.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Isn't it? So I'm looking at you reading that magazine there. Do you get instruction? What do you think about the instruction that you can get from a golf magazine?
The pictures.
That'll tell the whole story.
You know, use your eyes. Look at the pictures. Try to get a idea of what a golf swing is. Although these are still pictures, and it's a moment in time. But if you look at the pictures, you're going to find some things that, you know, like this. This is the golf magazine. This is the latest issue. It has Dustin Johnson on the cover. You can see the position of his left arm
right
at the top of the swing, the position of the right arm. And now you got to realize, to me, the thing that controls the golf club are the arms, hands, wrists, and arms. So you can get a mirror and get in those positions. It's kind of like yoga.
We don't
exercise.
Have his flexibility.
Exactly right. But once you can start stretching out, you can start getting yourself in position. But if you go to if people that have the magazine, the golf magazine, page 80, and this is the article by our good friend Brandel Chambly, and it's the Hit Shots of Greatness. And there's, you know, four pictures of different positions, okay?
Right.
And you start with number one, the takeaway. And the takeaway is how you start the club back. And you can see that in that picture, John, there his both arms are extended out in front of him.
Right.
That's classic position. And the club is still low relative to the ground. And this is a driver. So you want a takeaway that's low and slow and keeping the club, you know, moving away from the golf ball, which is straight away. That's very important.
Right.
You don't – a lot – the word turn is overused.
Right. That will elongate your swing, won't it, taking it straight back?
You want to take it straight back away from you, but not to the inside, because here's the philosophy. If you turn first, the club's going to go back behind you more. Now you've got a problem. So you've got to sweep the club back with your hands, wrists, and arms. Good extension. So that's
now, is it different with a driver than a 9-iron?
Well, sure. The 9-iron, of course, is more upright.
You're not going to be looking to get as elongated with the 9-iron.
No, but so then you can take in your home. Stand up in front of a mirror and just practice that. Practice a takeaway for 3 feet, you know, 12 to 16 inches and then a little further, and keep the club lower to the ground. Start it back.
Is there anything that you want to put behind it so that you start hitting it?
Well, you can do that. That's, to me, that exercise there, John, what John's talking about is you put a golf ball that is in line with the golf ball that you're going to hit,
right,
and you take the club back and you hit that ball and you move it back behind you. That helps you keep the club lower to the ground,
right,
without picking it up.
Right.
So you maintain your balance. But then the second pitcher, and the first pitcher was labeled takeaway, and that's the way you take the club away, how you start the club. And you've always got to move the club head first because that's got the furthest distance to travel. The second one, and I don't like that second pitcher. It's called turn.
Right.
And that is not what you should do, because from the takeaway, you let the arms turn your body. You don't actually try to turn.
Right.
But the backswing is an upswing. You're going up. See, if you look at the cover picture, the left arm is really vertical.
Right.
It's not 100% vertical, but it is up there. So we got to get the people to take the club away low and slow, and then let the left arm go up.
Okay.
Create that creates.
So you don't like turn, you just like.
I want the movement of the arms to make the shoulders turn.
Okay.
Now, learn to get the club to the top of the swing. And it's a good exercise to swing the club up and stop and get comfortable with where you want to go with the backswing, which I call an upswing.
Okay.
Okay. So now from there, is a completely different action.
Well, his point on that is when you're at the top of your swing is that that left leg needs to be turned in and that heel needs to be off the ground.
That's exactly right.
And you're a proponent of that?
That is it has a lot to do with your flexibility, but it will help you grow your swing more if you let when you start your takeaway and your arms are traveling, you know, behind you and up, you let the left knee turn behind the golf ball. So now you're putting more of your body weight inside the right foot. And that's allowing, once the knee starts to move, the hips are going to turn a little more. But this is what really made Jack Nicklaus the player that he was. I mean, when he was at his prime, he was well over 200 pounds. He was chunky, but he could really swing the club with his feet.
Yep, and you see all the pictures of the older players. They all got that left foot off the ground when they're turning.
Is our show done?
It's over. It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Come on.
We're done. We will talk to you again next week. Great to have you. Thanks to Billy Harmon as well. We'll talk to you in Palm Springs next week.
Palm Springs.